What happens to villains after they're defeated in fairy tales? Melissa Dela Cruz's The Isle of the Lost provides a fascinating answer. They're exiled to a prison island, stripped of their magical powers, and forced to live under a magical dome. 20 years ago, when Beast became king of Auradon, he banished all villains to this desolate fortress. Now, Maleficent, Jafar, Cruella de Vil, and the Evil Queen survive on Auradon's castoffs, inhabiting crumbling buildings in perpetual gloom. But the real story begins with a childhood grudge. When the Evil Queen hosted an extravagant birthday party for 6-year-old Evie, deliberately excluding Maleficent's daughter Mel, it sparked a feud that would last a decade. Maleficent's furious reaction, cursing the celebration and banishing the Evil Queen and Evie to isolation, planted seeds of bitterness in young Mal's heart, who felt dark satisfaction watching her mother destroy her rival's special day. Across the Sea of Serenity lies Auradon, a prosperous kingdom where Castle Beast stands as a symbol of peace and prosperity. Unlike the gloomy isle, Auradon enjoys perfect weather, manicured gardens, and harmonious citizens. Here, 15-year-old Prince Ben prepares to become king at 16, the youngest coronation in history. Blessed with his father's commanding presence and his mother, Belle's gentle demeanor, Ben navigates his first political challenge, addressing grievances from Sidekicks United. While reviewing their petition, Ben finds himself distracted by vivid dreams of a purple-haired girl moving through a crumbling village. These visions trouble him not just for their intensity, but because they feel more authentic than his carefully orchestrated life, including his relationship with Princess Audrey, Sleeping Beauty's daughter. The story follows four teenagers confined to the Isle of the Lost. Mal, Maleficent's daughter, rules school through intimidation while seeking her mother's approval, yet dreams of Auradon and a mysterious boy. Jay, Jafar's son, thrives as a charismatic thief. Evie emerges from 10 years of isolation with her beauty-obsessed mother, only to face Mal's inherited hatred. Carlos de Vil, smaller and smarter than peers, serves as Cruella's servant while secretly building inventions from discarded items and living in fear of dogs due to his mother's lies. These teens aren't merely miniature versions of their infamous parents. They question their identities and whether to follow their parents' evil paths. Their relationships, oscillating between rivalry, manipulation, and genuine connection, form the story's emotional core. Ben's storyline creates a compelling parallel. While the villain kids face pressure to embrace evil, he struggles with the burden of prescribed goodness. His father's advice to lead with a gentle heart and a firm hand comes with demonstrations of beastly strength, reminding Ben of the legacy he must uphold. When Evie enrolls at Dragon Hall, Mal plots revenge by organizing a gathering at Carlos's mansion, Hell Hall. Carlos transforms the ballroom into a black-and-white spectacle while his mother is away. Jay arrives with stolen supplies, insisting the party must be legendary. When Evie enters wearing a handcrafted blue leather dress, Mal executes her plan, tricking Evie into Cruella's dangerous fur-trapped closet for 7 minutes in hell, despite Carlos's warnings. Evie surprises everyone by skillfully navigating the mechanical jaws and discovering a hidden exit to Carlos's bedroom. In an unguarded moment, she offers him comforts from her home, a plush comforter and enchanted pillow. Though maintaining villainous facades and avoiding eye contact, their awkward exchange creates an undeniable connection. This sequence reveals significant depth beneath their evil exteriors. Evie's intelligence beyond her princess image, Carlos's protective instincts contradicting his villain heritage, and the first authentic connection between any villain kids. At Carlos's treehouse laboratory, his electronic device accidentally shoots a beam through the dome barrier, briefly connecting to outside television signals. This breach awakens Maleficent's scepter in the Forbidden Fortress and frees her raven Diablo from stone imprisonment. When Mal returns home, she finds Maleficent awake with Diablo perched on her shoulder. Maleficent demands Mal retrieve her awakened Dragon's Eye scepter to break the dome's curse. Though skeptical, Mal agrees to avoid disappointing her mother again. Initially recruiting only Jay, they soon realize they need Carlos's technological expertise and Evie's knowledge about the magical breach. The four villain kids reluctantly agree to work together to find the scepter in the Forbidden Fortress. Their alliance marks a significant shift in the Isle's social dynamics. As children of the greatest villains, they've never had friends, only minions, rivals, or enemies. This partnership, though initially driven by self-interest, creates the possibility for genuine connection as they face challenges requiring their combined strengths. The teens discover the Forbidden Fortress isn't on the Isle of the Lost, but on the separate Isle of the Doomed. After securing Goblin transport, they face challenges testing their individual strengths. They hack through thorny gates using Jay's stolen weapons, then encounter stone gargoyles guarding a broken bridge with riddles for Carlos about Cruella. The final riddle asks about Cruella's one true love, which Carlos painfully identifies as her furs, not him, allowing them passage. Inside, Mal notices her striking resemblance to her mother in a portrait gallery. Following Carlos's tracker, they descend to Maleficent's dungeon. A chamber transforms into the Cave of Wonders, filling with sand as Jay grabs treasure. When Jay shouts, "Whoever has the most gold makes the rules," they're saved, though his pocket's empty. Later, a mirror ages them to resemble their villainous parents, until Evie recites her mother's disguise spell ingredients, reversing the effect. Each trial reveals their growth as they overcome obstacles that required their combined strengths. When they finally reach the Dragon's Eye Scepter, Mal faces the culmination of her revenge plot. She planned for Evie to touch the cursed scepter, condemning her to 1,000-year sleep, perfect vengeance in Maleficent style. But watching Evie reach for the crystal, something shifts in Mal's heart. She cries, "Stop!" and grabs the scepter herself, plunging into darkness. In her enchanted sleep, Mal witnesses Aurora's christening and recognizes her mother's raw hurt, the same pain she felt outside Evie's birthday party. Mal awakens unexpectedly, her dragon birthmark burning through the curse. The scepter vanishes, leaving only green sparkles. In the fortress halls, the four finally share their truths. Evie's mother had forbidden Mal's invitation. Jay struggles with his father's expectations. Carlos fears disappointing his mother. Back home, they face parental disappointment. Maleficent has the dragon's eye, retrieved by Diablo while Mal was unconscious, though it appears broken. Despite being called such a disappointment, the four find solace together, running through streets causing havoc, not quite friends, but close. Meanwhile, in Auradon, Prince Ben resolves the sidekick situation with empathy, yet remains troubled by dreams of a purple-haired girl, hinting at a future connection as both stories explore challenging parental legacies.